pleasure to welcome Nick Barashev back to the show, CEO of Bullion Management Group and author of $10,000 Gold, Why Gold's Inevitable Rise is the Investor's Safe Haven. I have two hard copies here, published, I think, in 2013. It's hard to believe it's been that long. Welcome back, Nick Barashev.
Thank you for inviting me.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you back with us, as always. $10,000 Gold. Many people will say that's a lofty target from current levels. It sounds like good news for our precious metals aficionados.
There's $300 trillion of financial assets made up of stocks and bonds globally. And there is, in terms of above-ground, investment-grade bullion, i.e. bullion, not, you know, stuff in the Hermitage Museum and, you know, artwork and so on. But of actual bullion is about $1.8 trillion.
Okay, so less than 0.5%.
That's right. So the math is that in the 70s, the conservative allocation was 5% to gold. So if you take 5% of $300 trillion, you get $15 trillion.
Yep, tenfold increase from current levels.
And if you divide, you know, 15 by 1.8, you get $10,000 an ounce. So sooner or later, you get that number. But I think the number will be much higher because when the market corrects, because we've got the first time that we've got a simultaneous triple bubble, when people panic from that correction, you'll get much, much higher than 5% allocation in gold.
Because not only is the typical portfolio incredibly light as far as gold allocation, you haven't even scratched the surface of the potential for investment. Yeah, people start to speculate on the prospects of runaway inflation, you know, circa the 1970s or currently in Venezuela, the Bolivar.
Well, currently, like, I mean, the canaries in the coal mine are more than just Venezuela. We've got Venezuela, Brazil, Argentina, Turkey, Iran, South Africa. So these are like the canaries in the coal mine. This is what's happening there for all the same failed monetary policy. And eventually that'll come to North America for the very same reasons. Print endless money and you can't go endlessly into debt.
But we're convinced that our economic soothsayers, you know, in their ivory towers have got it all figured out this time. After all, you know, Nick Barashev, they have supercomputers, algorithms, and different economic models.
Where we've got a much bigger problem than 2008 is that the margin debt now is 50% higher than 2008. So when this market corrects and you get margin calls, the slide is going to be very fast.
Just to illustrate how quickly this all can unfold, even in Western civilizations, Venezuela is my favorite, not just Venezuela, but we haven't even discussed India, where, you know, the prime minister essentially overnight said, you know, I don't care for currency anymore in circulation, let's just go digital. These things can happen abruptly, and who knows? I mean, could we all wake up? And the U.S. dollar has been devalued overnight, you know, by half, and everything in our bank account buys half as much as before.
Well, this is where, like, China, Russia, Iran, Turkey are buying gold, you know, in preparation for this, because the aim for them is to dethrone the U.S. dollar as the world's reserve currency eventually.
Or one might maybe look at it from another perspective and say they're simply preparing for the inevitable devaluation of the U.S.
Right,
currency.
That's right.
To listen to some of our officials and policymakers disparage China, if one finds a systemic illness, you know, within a currency market, I think inoculating your own currency with precious metals or gold seems like a prudent, you know, idea.
Exactly. The issue with China, like Russia publishes its gold purchases and been considerable. In the case of China, they buy their gold through their sovereign wealth fund that doesn't report to anybody. And the gold in the central bank is static at 1,600 tons. So they move the gold from the sovereign wealth fund to the central bank when it suits them.
And the irony is we have over half of Americans, and I don't say this lightly or with any glib in my voice at all, I hope, but half of U.S. households are receiving some type of government assistance. Approximately 96 million able-bodied Americans have given up or have just stopped looking for work altogether. That's one out of three, approximately. And so one wonders if the monetary spigots or the handouts were to suddenly, let's just say, halt for whatever reason, maybe a temporary government shutdown, some other unforeseen event.
Right. The issue is that the mainstream media, all they do is they harp on the fact that the stock market's rising and the unemployment rate is low. But if you go to shadowstats.com, which gives you truer numbers, the actual unemployment rate is 22%.
Yes, you're exactly right. John Williams has been an excellent friend of the show over 13 years here. He does a truer measure of the GDP, actual price levels in the United States, and he points out that as long as these price levels are held artificially low, it seems to inflate the actual gross domestic product or our national output, which benefits, you know, whoever's in office, to the disadvantage of 300 million Americans.
Yeah, the other thing that most people aren't aware of, but it's been implemented and done, is that under Basel III, the BIS rules call for gold being a zero-risk asset equal to treasuries or cash for a bank's balance sheet. That in the mainstream media ever?
Can you tell us what you feel the implications of this are?
Well, it's just that, you know, the banks can then, you know, now hold, you know, gold instead of treasuries and have the same effect on their balance sheet. That's the thing. Up till now, it was considered like a high-risk asset, and that's why the banks, they, you know, didn't hold it. Now they can hold it just like they hold cash or treasuries.
Even the money purveyors have become so diluted with their own rhetoric that they themselves are actually consuming the proverbial Kool-Aid.
Yeah, but they've just done it, you know, quietly, and it doesn't appear in the mainstream media. But those rules have been implemented in all the Western countries.
Then when the music stops, which it always has done throughout, you know, financial history, let's just say the last 400 years, but we can go back to ancient Greece and Rome as well, and even earlier. But so when the music eventually stops, the safety valve has essentially been gutted here because our central bankers won't even have the ammunition necessary to stop the inevitable destruction. You've mentioned that peak gold production could also be an important supply component that might send price higher. Are you sticking with that outlook?
Yeah, it looks like gold production has peaked, and plus the thing is that if you discover gold, it'll take you 20 years to get the mine into production. So even if you were to have a huge find today, it wouldn't do you any good for 20 years in terms of supply.
The other compelling argument there regarding gold is, unlike silver, it tends to be identified deeply in the Earth's crust. And so even if we were to find another El Dorado-like potential mine, the effort to procure it is Herculean.
That's right. Like if the gold price rises because of sort of safe haven demand, mine supply isn't going to have any effect. There won't be any increase in mine supply.
The comments from the People's Bank of China regarding a convertible yuan into gold. This actually involves crude oil.
That's being established and implemented. So if you're an oil producer, say, like Iran, you can sell your oil to China in yuan, and then on the Shanghai Gold Exchange, convert the yuan to gold and sell the oil for gold.
So let's bring all the pieces of this intriguing puzzle together. If I understand you correctly, you're saying that the yuan essentially has at least a modicum of gold backing and, more importantly, convertibility with petroleum. They also now have a military that's starting to rival any other in the world. 500,000 of our high-paying manufacturing jobs have left our shores for theirs over the last decade. That's 5 million jobs. And they're the manufacturing superpower of the world.
China and Russia have publicly stated that their objective is to displace the U.S. dollar as the world's reserve currency into something else. Maybe an SDR, maybe a petrol yuan, maybe whatever. But the Russia and China don't like the exorbitant privilege that the U.S. has by having the world's reserve currency. Everybody else has got to do something to make a living where the U.S. can just print the money. No other country can do that.
Okay, that, I guess, is one of the unintended benefits of having a reserve currency. But, of course, when the music stops, what would be the chief means of employment? Do we look to Great Britain, the former reserve currency, the pound there, as an example?
Well, it could be Great Britain, and can be looking at what's happening in Venezuela, like or Argentina. These were all in the past relatively, you know, good, strong economies.
Do you expect this endgame to unfold as it did in Venezuela? Seemingly overnight, in just about 12 months' time, a loaf of bread is at least 1 million bolivar.
Right.
John Williams, of course, Shadow Stats agrees with you, many of our others. But, you know, I know there will be the listener and the subscriber who says, you know, Chris, we've heard this for almost 20 years. Is this one of those moments where crying wolf is actually prudent?
The average performance of gold in all the currencies over the past 10 years is 10%. All the currencies, and what the return is, you get 10% over 10 years. So, number two, regardless of anything else, gold is the most negatively correlated asset to financial assets, meaning gold goes one way when stocks and bonds go the other way. In order to have the least risky portfolio, you need to have 10 to 20% in gold. So that way, when the stock and bonds correct, the gold goes up and vice versa. So you just hold 10 to 20%. You don't need a cataclysm for this to be justified. Put 10 to 20% in and forget about it. And you'll have a lower volatility, higher return portfolio. That's that. If gold goes to 10,000 an ounce, you'll be laughing. And if it doesn't, then you haven't lost anything. You've still improved your portfolio.
Exactly. And then I assume, though, that you are a bit wary of exotic precious metals instruments, such as ETFs.
Can't be in anything like that. It's got to be physical gold that you either own or is in custodial allocated storage, and there's a lot to check out there if you're going to store it. Depends on how much gold you're going to need to buy. If you're going to buy millions of dollars worth of gold, it's not practical to keep it at home.
So what are some of the obvious risks that investors should keep in mind?
Gold isn't any different than cars, boats, houses, or anything else, okay? So to own something, you have to have a transfer of title that specifically identifies the asset. So in the case of a car, it's make, model, serial number, etc. So I list those things, and I convey them to you. In the case of gold, I need to have the refiner, the serial number, the exact weight, and the exact purity, okay? And that specifically then is conveyed to me. It's not good enough to get a statement that says, I own so many ounces. That means you own nothing. Unless you have the serial numbers and so on and so forth for the exact bars, you don't own any bullion.
You're thinking a few moves ahead on the chessboard that when the music stops, people will only be, you know, safe at night if they've made sure the serial number of each coin or bar is registered with the storage facility.
Right. Now, coins don't have serial numbers, so you'll have to create a storage container with a serial number for coins so you can do that. But the second thing that people aren't aware of also is the storage facility. So, like, you can own allocated gold, but if the storage facility, the vault, defaults on either its mortgage or its debt, and a trustee is appointed, the trustee is going to say, prove to me that you own the gold, okay? And if you can't prove to them that you own the gold, it goes into the bankruptcy pile. What you've got to do is you've got to do a lot of due diligence on the custodian, financial statements and so on, and you've got all kinds of people storing gold. Well, they could default on that. The powers of a trustee in bankruptcy are considerable, okay? And that's what happens if there's a default on either the mortgage or the lease, and a trustee is appointed. The objective of the trustee is to get as much gold as possible into the bankruptcy pile.
Because they're looking to cover as much of their losses as possible.
your listeners should just consider the fact that if they own gold, they've got a portfolio that's less volatile and less risky when without it. And gold goes to 10,000 an ounce, well, it's not going to be a pleasant place on earth to be.
Folks who were just able to put aside a few gold coins in Caracas,
right,
just 12, 18 months ago. I mean, could you even fathom what could be purchased with those coins today? Doesn't it remind one of the stories we hear from friends and family in the Weimar, you know, Republic, or after the World Wars in Central Europe?
That's right. That's where the kind of the insurance aspect of it comes in, so...
It's an almost impossible forecast or prediction to make because we don't know how governments will react. We don't know what measures they might try to use. They're certainly fighting the inevitable currency collapse in every way they can think of. Do you, like some people, think that by 2022 things could be unraveling quickly?
I think they could be unraveling quickly this fall. I mean, I can't see the market hanging in there when we've got bubbles of this proportion. Things are going to start unwinding there, and when it does, that's when the flood to gold will happen.
With rates so low for so long, and of course negative all over, especially in Asia right now and parts of Europe, with such artificially low rates, the U.S. having pretty much turned its back on QE, and now Europe and China talking about wrapping up QE, what would our officials and policymakers really have in place to battle the bubble implosions that you're talking about?
If the market crashes, they'll have to reverse their position and reinstitute QE.
And that, of course, leads to enormous sums of helicopter drops.
That's right.
If we do have that crack-up boom moment, then I guess you would first envision prices out of control and then global economy just shutting down for a while?
It could at some point in time. Like, people are going to not know what to trade in. We're already having problems when we're transferring... When investors are transferring money to, you know, buy bullion from us, that's already becoming a problem.
Tell people more about BMG Group and some of the services you provide, please.
Well, we have three mutual funds, like a gold, silver, platinum mutual fund, a gold-only mutual fund, a silver-only mutual fund. And then we also sell a wide variety of bullion bars and coins that people can... either take delivery or we can store it for them at Brinks in Toronto, Montreal, Calgary, Vancouver, Hong Kong, Dubai, Singapore, Geneva, and Panama. So you take your pick where you want it stored.
Then some of the advantages of BMG, please?
We're pure gold. We don't compromise the gold. Just facilitate it for investors and make it happen. Thanks again for having me on your show.
Well, you know, Nick Bereshef, we appreciate your thoughts and want to encourage everyone today to direct their web browsers to Bullion Management Group. We'll have links all over our websites at GoldSeek, and looking forward to hearing your next set of interesting insights on the financial markets as well as the precious metals, which we hope are finding a bottom here, maybe a capitulation.
Yeah, I think we're pretty close to that point. So the book is available on Amazon and Kindle, so it gives people a good basic overview of money and gold and how everything works. So I encourage them. That would be a good starting point.
And would you say now that 3 or 4 years after its publishing that you feel the projection might have been overly conservative?
Well, yeah, because the debt has continued to go up.
Thank you, sir. Please return to the show.
Okay, bye now.